Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Asking me to clap. I feel like a seal when I'm clapping.
You've got the clap.
You've got the clap.
You've got the clap. Have you ever had the clap?
I don't even know what it is, Amy.
I don't know what it is.
You've been that.
What is it? What is the clap? I know what crabs is. There's like little witchy things, isn't it?
Weeks ago, didn't you? I had it from Mr. Wanstead.
I've never had any STDs.
Mr. Wanstead.
Can you believe that? I really haven't. See, I'm not what you think I am.
You so are what I think you are. But you're quite sensible what you are.
Hi.
Hello there.
Welcome.
So I'm going to tell you something funny. So before we have been recording off Amy's laptop, and I think it sounded bloody good.
It did sound bloody good.
But now, you see, we've been given these two wonderful microphones. I do really feel like I'm in broadcasting.
You look like you're in broadcasting.
Don't I?
It makes you look quite intelligent, actually.
Fucking
you should wear that all the time.
What, headphones?
Yeah, headphones and a microphone. We could go out on the street and interview people.
Well, we could with these bad boys.
Well, we can't fucking now.
No, we can't now. No, we can't. We can't do anything. We
can't are do anything
actually,
now.
No, the cat's going to eat me in a minute. It's looking at me.
Welcome to episode 7.
It's episode 7.
7.
Yeah. We could talk
about it. Maybe we'd last this long.
I just thought we'd do one and she'd get bored.
I thought we'd do two.
Yeah.
This is episode 7 and this one is a very special episode.
Yeah. Where I get to talk about myself, because usually Amy gets to talk about herself quite a lot. And I just really listen or take the piss out of her. So this one,
it's a nice change.
Yeah, done it just. Mm. Yeah, it's basically about me talking about my cancer.
Yeah.
Me talking about my right breast.
Yep.
Which she's no longer with us. She's dearly departed. Yeah. Just talk about the journey, talk about what happens, talk about how I feel, how I am, what I am.
I don't think we ever figure that one out, do we?
Not really, not in this episode.
It's a fascinating story.
Is it?
And it's a positive, happy story.
Definitely. And I don't do it with... I did have to have a wine tonight, though. I've been putting this one off.
Yeah, well, it's hard. It's hard talking about deep personal
It is. It's
shit,
hard to talk about
it?
Your boobs.
Yeah.
I mean, your boobs.
Yeah.
Well, let's not go anywhere with
I've come to terms with
flat boobs.
Yeah, it is what it is.
It is, isn't it?
It is what it is.
They look like a JCB has run over them. Mine are very pert. Amy's are very flat.
I want to get a little air pump and pump.
They need something.
I know. They're really sore at the moment. I'm due on.
Not even a pair of socks could do anything for you, though. That's the funny
thing.
They're
all right. When they're all right. They feel nice, but they just look a bit sad.
When she says they feel nice, she's actually like touching her hip when she says that, because they're wrapped around her hip right now. She could tuck them into her belt.
I wish they were that fucking big.
She could tuck them into your belt.
Except, do you remember on Little Britain? Lola's watched it recently, and the Matt Lucas plays the posh old lady who's in the nursing home. And she's got the real like V tits down to her.
That's it. Bubbles.
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 Oh fuck my life.
Sorry, Aim.
No, it's fine. I'll take it.
Take it.
I'll take it where I can get it.
Sorry, I've got no nipple. Smooth boob.
And well, let's find out all about your boobs then. Here we go. We'll see you on the other side.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Why are you giggling like that?
Because I don't know. I just laugh. That's my thing, isn't it?
I think you look at me and you giggle.
Well,
it's just something on my face.
It's because you've got polar bear pajamas on.
Well, thank God they look like polar bears.
What are they supposed to look like?
Well, sometimes if I'm fat, they stretch and they look like some other kind of animal.
They're really nice. They look really furry.
My little sister bought me these. I live in these. That's my loungewear, darling. Loungewear.
Very loungy.
Well, you know, thought I'd just pop round, do a podcast.
As you do.
In my PJs.
So this week, we're talking about
the fucking C word. It's a really fun topic this week, guys.
Talking about your cunt, are we? We're talking about...
No, we're definitely not talking about that. She was left well alone.
So we kind of glanced over it a bit before, didn't we, when we were doing the whole breastfeeding episode, and you said that Idris had stopped feeding from one side because you'd found, and then they found a lump, basically, or you found a lump. So...
Yeah.
So what happened? Because it wasn't when you were breastfeeding that it all kind of came out, was
well,
it?
No, I can remember I was going to a family meal, and my mum and my little sister and my little boy were in the flat, and I'd felt a lump on my right breast, and I just kind of put it in the back of my mind.
Where was it?
It was just above my nipple.
Right.
So it was, and I'm actually feeling my nipple.
I know, but
right
you
now.
Did, but it's like, because I've...
Yeah.
Was it like on like the front of...
It was like a really weird lump, because it was a lump that you could feel, and you could kind of move it around.
Yeah.
And it didn't hurt. I didn't have any pain. And so I remember saying to my mum, well, I found this lump and I didn't really know what it was, but could she kind of check it out?
Yeah.
So she did. She checked it out. She said, I think you'll be fine, but just go to the doctor on Monday. And I remember sort of not really paying any attention. Like, it was in the back of my mind, but it wasn't really something that I thought, oh my God, this is really serious.
Yeah, yeah.
And I spoke to my cousin Emma, and she was my auntie died of cervical cancer, so I think there was a bit of moment where people were like, okay, and I can remember feeling like my mum had probably said something, and I'd said something to my cousin anyway.
Was that your mum's sister?
Yeah, my mum's twin sister died of cervical cancer, so it was a bit of a sore topic, and a bit of a difficult one as well, especially in the women in our family.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, you know, we went through the meal, I got through it, and then the next day was Sunday, and I think the next day was Monday, and I went to the doctor's, and the doctor felt the lump, and he said, oh, we're going to send you straight to get checked. And I was like...
What then?
Okay. And he said, well, we'll refer you, don't worry, it'll be, you know, within 2 weeks. And I was like, okay, it's a little bit odd, it's a little bit strange. But he did say at the time, you know, you are breastfeeding.
Yeah.
It's probably just, you know, a blocked milk duct. It's probably nothing to be too concerned about. But we'll send you anyway. I can remember getting the letter and having to phone up, you know, to get an appointment. Mm-hmm. I think at that point I did think, oh, shit. I'm fucked now, aren't I? If this is it, like, I'm 39, I'm fucked. Like, I can remember this, like, as I'm talking about it, it all comes back in these memories. And I went in and I sat in Whips Cross and I waited for them to call my name. And when they called me in and she looked at, and she felt my breast... And she said, right, we need to give you a mammogram.
Right.
And then we need to give you an ultrasound. And I went, what, all at the same time? She said, yeah, all at the same time. And I think then that's when I really sort of thought, right, this is something actually quite serious now.
Yeah.
It's not something that's not what you think it is. Yeah. It's definitely something. She said, you don't need to be concerned. This happens all the time, you know, one in five. We just bring back and, you know, you have to sit and have the whole process done at the same time. I said, okay, no problem. And then she said, once I had it all done, we're going to take you to the back room and we need to do a biopsy. But it was like, I can remember looking at my phone and it was like 7 o'clock at night. So I'd been there for quite a while.
Yeah.
And I was in the room. So I'd been through a mammogram, ultrasound. I'd been through tests. And now I was going to have a biopsy same night. And I had my biopsy. And it's what they do is they use a long, thin, very thin, it's like a needle.
Yeah.
But when it goes in, they have to take it right from the middle of the mass.
Yeah.
And it's fucking painful.
Oh my God. But they don't.
Yeah, they you got local on it. It's like a little gel that they put on it. But it's fucking painful.
Fucking hell.
And I remember then.
Oh my God.
Thinking, shit. Like, this is.
Was
this
anyone
is not
with you?
Good. No, I went on my own. God. I thought, you know, everything's fine.
Yeah.
The next day, I got a call to say that I had to go back because so what they do is when they go through the heart of the mass, then they go around it and they see how big it is, because obviously the mass is just a lump and it could be more in the breast. So I went back the next day and they took more biopsies, and then I was sent to the Royal London, is it in Whitechapel?
Yeah.
That was like a week later. I had more tests with them. I was sent back to Ips. This went on for literally 3 months.
Oh, my God.
I think I went routinely. And then I had a breast consultant. And nobody could figure out exactly what cancer I had. So I'd been told it was what they call it, carcinoma, which is like the pre-cancer cells. So I was told that in the beginning. So I was fully aware that I had cancer, but I was told that I had pre-cancer cells.
Right.
So it's not as serious. It's very, you know, and it's very manageable, and they can work with you, and it's fine. So I was like, okay, that's good for me. I've got a small child. I've got a job.
Yeah.
My family aren't here, but my friends are here. I can manage it. It's good. It's good. We're good to go. And then my consultant, Peter Fracker from Whips Cross, who's fucking amazing. He was amazing. He was absolutely amazing. He said to me, we're never going to find out what cancer it is unless we take out your lymph nodes. So bearing in mind, this was 3 months after I first went.
Right.
And I was like, well, okay, where are you? For a start, I didn't even know what your lymph nodes were.
No, I don't know.
I was like, what are they? What are they? They
it's sound all my cellulite.
They sound really interesting. They're like your sweat glands. So,
okay.
So they're underneath your arms, they're in your neck,
yeah,
in your groin. Oh,
yeah.
That's just touching my groin there. Sorry about that. They're in parts of your body where obviously you sweat.
And
it's a detoxifying. It takes out all the rubbish.
Yeah.
And then it circulates around. They are very important, I've come to realise. So I went into Whips and I had my lymph nodes taken out under my arm.
Right.
And when I came round, like Peter Fracker is like in my face and he's like, well, right, we're going to get them checked. I was like, okay. But he had this look of, he didn't really know quite how to look at me.
Yeah.
And I think at that point I did realise this is actually more serious than, you know, these pre-cancer cells that everybody had been banding about. And I think I had cancer in, I think it was like 9 of my lymph nodes.
Right.
Which had meant it had started to pass through my body.
Right.
And they wanted to do a CT scan of my sternum and my spine.
Yeah.
Because they could see a shadow in my lungs and my sternum and my spine.
Right.
And I was like, fuck. not only have I got breast cancer, but I might also have it elsewhere because it's obviously passed through my lymph nodes. So I then went through another month of feeling like shit. I've got all these tests again, all these things to sort of comprehend while still going to work, while still caring for a child.
Yeah.
While still my family are, you know, in Wales. I was so lucky. I had amazing, like, friends like Aisha, Kelly, Joe, and all these wonderful people, Tembi, who literally just kept me going through these months.
And how were you feeling in yourself at this time?
I felt fine.
Like, physically, you felt fine. It was just obviously extremely stressful.
The really weird thing is, I was running probably every day.
Yeah.
And I was quite thin. I was tiny. I'd lost quite a lot of weight.
Mm.
But I thought that was from the running.
Yeah.
But cancer has an effect on your weight. You lose quite a lot of weight rapidly. Right. So once it gets to a certain stage, because cancer is quite slow growing.
Yeah.
But once it gets to a certain stage, that's when you start to notice. And one of the things I did realise was, God, my weight has plummeted quite a lot.
Yeah.
Then when I sort of found out that I had it all in my lymph nodes, I went for all the tests, the CT scans. I went, God, honestly, I don't know how many times I sat in the doctor's surgeries or hospital surgeries, and I was just like, it was confusing to know what I was up against.
Yeah.
I was told that my sternum was fine, my spine was fine, and my lungs were fine.
Yeah.
But my breast, I had a 9.5-inch mass.
Wow.
So it was big.
Oh my God, that's really big.
And then I had it, it just covered my breast.
Yeah.
Sorry, that was me touching my breast again. Sorry about that.
It's a nice breast.
Yes, lovely. So at that point, I had 7 whole days to figure out what I wanted to do. So I was told I had to have a mastectomy.
Yep.
But then I got told, so I obviously don't know. I was 39. Nearly 40. I didn't know that what the options were when they take your breast off.
Yeah.
I didn't know that you could have your buttocks, like, you know, or your thighs, or your the back of the squidgy bit of your back. I didn't know you could have your stomach. I didn't know you could have all these things removed to make your breast. I just thought that you could have an implant.
Yeah.
That was like the most plausible kind of argument for me, that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah.
Well, no, wasn't. Obviously, in my life, I was like told that I was a good candidate to have this thing called a Dieppe flap.
Right.
So I didn't really know what a Dieppe flap was, and I literally had 7 days, and I remember googling it. Right. Yeah. And you anybody can Google this, and you can watch the surgery.
Oh my
and it's
God.
Fucking mental. It is mental. But for somebody who's facing it, who's quite young,
yeah,
who doesn't really know about, you know, anything to do with cancers or breast cancers, I remember feeling physically sick, going, oh my God, like, they've just given me this piece of paper with this word on it.
Yeah.
And it just doesn't make any sense to me. However, I was given a consultation and told, you know, if you have an implant, it might fail because it's an alien, it's an alien, like an alien invasion in your body.
Yeah.
So it could fail.
Yeah.
If you have a Dieppe flap, they take the, so it's a muscle saving. So you don't take any muscle, but they take the fat, the skin, and the blood vessels from your stomach.
Yeah.
Or your belly. And they make your breast. So completely remove your old breast.
Yeah.
Because I had it in my, I had cancer in my nipple, so that was gone as well. And I had the option of having this Dieppe flap. So my stomach would be hip to hip. All the fat in it. I didn't have a fat stomach, by the way. I did, really. But I did have that they can then take the blood vessels up. They can, like, wiggle them up by microscopic, whatever they do. But they move the arteries up to your breast so that you're... It's unbelievable, isn't it?
It's absolutely unbelievable. Yeah.
But then when you get told, well, it is plastic surgery and it will take about 12 to 14 hours to do, and it's quite dangerous. And it
were
might
you out
not,
that whole time?
Yeah.
So they put you out.
Yeah, and you might not. You it might fail. Oh, so you're
it's
literally,
a long time to be out for as well, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. So you're given these kind of. You're given these options, you're given these papers to look through, but 7 days isn't that long. So you've got to face cancer, you've got to face the prospect of cancer, you've got to face the fact that you're not going to see your child for a little bit, you've got to face the fact that you've got to tell your employer, and at the time they were fucking amazing, like, big up to Derek, Barrett and Jane, because I don't think I would have been in a good place, because they said to me, just go, just leave it, and just decide what you're going to do. But I did decide to have the Dieppe flap, and my breast consultant who took off my breast, Peter Fracker, he was in surgery, and an amazing man called Fortune Iwagua, who was my plastic surgeon.
Yeah.
And he'd already been to see me before, and he was really confident. You get the option. I went to Chelmsford, the Broomfield hospital, and you get an option to go and see women who've had it done.
Okay.
But I didn't have that option because I was 7 days in. So I was down to about 2 days and I was like, well, didn't really have a lot of choice. I had, 12-hour surgery. My mum and my little sister were there. My brother was in Australia and he was flying home just to look after me afterwards, but it was my mum and my sister. And I remember coming round and, like, you don't honestly know how you're going to feel when you get told you're going to lose your breast.
Oh, my God.
You don't fully accept that you're going to be different.
Yeah.
And it's like a really weird feeling.
Yeah.
And the only thing that I can remember looking at my mum and my sister and I was like, just dying to have a look at it.
Oh, God, yeah.
And I just looked like a patchwork quilt.
Yeah.
I just looked like looked like the fucking rag dolls. Oh. Like, I looked like I'd been, yeah. Like, I could see the stitching. I had drains everywhere. I had, what looked like, because they draw on you as well. They draw surgery, and I could see this kind of square bit which I'd seen that they'd drawn on my stomach that was now fucking up on my boob. God. And I was like, what the heck's that?
I was
fine, and I honestly did recover the next sort of couple of nights.
How long were you in hospital for?
I was in hospital for 2 weeks, but I had a chest infection. I got really badly. And I was sick. I was really bad. And I remember saying to my mum, like, that's it. I've reached the end of the line. Like, yeah. I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
And they phoned Fortune, OIQM, my plastic surgeon. And I was a Sunday, and I felt very, very unwell. And he came to see me. So he'd already spoken to my family, and then he came to see me, and he was like, he just came to check on how I was. Aww. And he sat on my bed, and he was like, these things happen. There's nothing you need to be afraid of. It's not, this is just part of the process. Unfortunately, it's like a really invasive surgery. So getting a chest infection is all part of it.
Yeah.
The problem with the chest infection is you've got a fucking cough, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well, you cough in and it's like, you feel like you're going to, you know, you're going to split your bloody stitches. But I had, there was two women in the wards who, like, I will hold them in my heart for quite a long, forever and ever, because they made my time in the Broomfield really, really special. These two women had been through cancer and one had been through a double mastectomy, but because her family had had cancer,
yeah,
and her mum and her sister her mum passed away, and I think her sister had cancer.
Mm.
So she had life-sparing surgery. We were like the naughtiest women in the whole ward.
You were naughty?
Naughty.
Really?
Naughty. We were so naughty, it's ridiculous. I mean, we were laughing, joking, but we needed that.
Yes, yeah.
We needed that. We needed that sense of, like, and every time I talk about my cancer, I think about these two women, because they honestly got me through some of the most painful parts.
Yeah.
Because you were literally in a bed with drains.
God.
You're having to be, they check your, what they call your flap, which is the actual surgery itself.
Yeah.
And I'm bearing in mind, I've got no fucking nipple.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're literally cut from hip to hip.
Yeah.
And you just look so bizarre. I also had these, you look like a mummy, all these things that they put around you. It's just weird. It's just so, but that was the start of my journey.
Yeah.
Because then when I got out, then I had to have chemotherapy. Then I had to have radiotherapy.
Oh, fucking
I mean,
hell.
Chemotherapy was pretty horrific. Because you're sat wait. I could just remember being sat waiting for hours and hours on end.
Did you have it at the same place? Was it at Chelmsford as well?
No,
you went?
I had to have it in St Paul's.
Okay.
St Paul's. So I went every.
So you had to get the fucking tube.
We had to get the tube.
Oh God.
And I remember being with my brother and my friend Siobhan, and I remember that both of them like because I'd had Siobhan was really good. Siobhan used to take me to my chemo, so did my brother. He'll be, you know, my always my brother, but I think one of them asked for somebody to get up off their seat because
yeah.
I just had chemo, but I didn't look like I'd had, you don't look like you have chemo.
Yeah.
You don't look like, you know,
yeah.
At that stage I'd only had just one, and I think somebody said no, like she doesn't look like she's had chemo, and I remember feeling just slightly drunk at that stage.
Yeah.
It felt slightly weird. There's this really weird smell that comes when you've had chemo. That's a really strange smell.
What is it? What happens?
They basically kill everything in your body. So you have it intravenously, but then you have other drugs to flush it.
Yeah.
And you could be there for six, seven hours.
Fucking
you could
hell.
Be there for longer waiting. I think
yeah.
I waited 12 hours once. Because you're in a hospital which is like it's like the epicenter of you can't have chemo in any hospital. It has
yeah.
to be, you know, delivered by a chemo nurse. It has
yep.
to be, you have to make sure the medication is checked and ready, and it's a massive process.
Yeah.
But it's the most horrific thing. Like I refused my last one.
How many did you have?
I had five.
Okay.
And I refused my last one because I had got to the stage where I couldn't physically do anymore.
Yeah.
There was the worst time was, I think my brother had gone to Wales and my mum was staying with me, and I think I'd just had enough, and my poor mum, I sent her home and I shut the door, but I didn't ask her for like to make sure that there was gas or electric or milk or food. I just didn't want her in the house. I didn't
yeah.
want her to see me have to go through this quite traumatic
yeah.
couple of days. I didn't have any gas. I didn't have any electric.
Oh, fuck.
I didn't have anything in the fridge. And I had to do like 24 hours. And you basically feel like you're, because they give you steroids as well.
Yeah.
So you feel like you're up constantly, like you're awake, you feel sick, you give you anti-sickness meds.
Mm.
You're so restless, you're so in a panic.
Yeah.
Because you want it to stop.
Yeah.
And I think after that, I think I called my friend Kelly. And I think Kelly was great because Kelly and Glenn gave me like an iPad so that I didn't have to sit in the front room.
Mm.
I sat in... I could sit in my bedroom.
Yeah.
And that's all I wanted to do. I didn't want to be anywhere. I didn't want to be in any part of the flat that I lived in.
Yeah.
I just wanted to be in bed with an iPad.
Yeah.
But that was like a surreal experience because that made me feel really like alone,
mm.
like very vulnerable, very just really isolated. It was horrible.
Yeah.
And after that, I just said, I'm not having it. I can't.
Where was Idris?
He was with, luckily, Marvin was amazingly supportive.
And yeah.
Took him a lot of the time.
Yeah.
And then I had Holly and Donna from the nursery.
Yeah.
Who spent lots of time with Idris.
So how old was Idris?
There was only two.
Right. Does he remember?
He doesn't remember anything.
Oh, thank God for that.
My amazing friend Sam cut my hair and I chose to have Idris in the same room as me. So Sam came to my house.
Yeah.
And he was, you know, he's one of my best friends. I love him. And he cut my hair with Idris. And I've got photographs of... He just thought it was fun. He just thought it was a fun time.
Yeah.
And Sam made it really fun for him and for us. And we did like a video. And I did post it, but it's quite an emotional video, like looking back. Yeah, no, he didn't really notice. And then I had another amazing friend, Sherry, who by the end of my chemo, like I had no fucking eyebrows.
Yeah.
I looked like something from Star Trek.
Did you lose everything? All hair?
So I had what they call it's like a cap you can wear and it saves some of your hair.
Okay.
But it's like having like ice on your head. it's so painful.
Oh God.
So you can have it, but you have to have like medication because it is so painful. I had tried and persevered with it because I wanted to save my beautiful hair. I persevered until the fifth one. And that's when I lost about 90% of my hair.
Oh.
But I was like, I was trying everything. I did like hair wraps. My brother's girlfriend Millie and her sister Michaela gave me like these amazing like wraps to do my hair. So Michaela's a hairdresser. Sam had gave me these like spray things so I could spray and then, you know, little bits and bobs that were missing. Tembi was like a wig queen, so she was like all for me getting a wig. Like she was, that's all she wanted.
She loves a wig.
She loves the wig. And that's when I went for a wig in the end.
Yeah.
And that, but I was very short. It was, I didn't have it for very long. And I don't really like it.
Yeah.
I hated it. I felt like a fraud. So weird. I just didn't feel right.
Yeah.
But I went back to work. I only had 6 months off. All of that for 6 months.
You had 6 months off after you finished or 6 months off in total?
6 months off in total.
Oh my God.
I know. Not long. And then.
So how long after your last chemo session did you go back to work then?
Not long. It was really quick.
Wow.
But I was very lucky that I was. My employer, which is Newham Council, they made an arrangement that I could go to do my radiotherapy and then I could go home because it drains your body quite a lot.
So what's the radiotherapy then?
So that's where you go in and you have to have like a cast made of your body and it's radioactive. It's like...
Okay.
I mean, I had it on my neck, had it on my breast... And had it on my back. So you have, it's targeted.
Yeah.
And it lasts about, I think it was there for about maybe half an hour. But you just feel exhausted. It's like the weirdest thing. But you feel exhausted anyway. You've been through surgery, chemo, radiotherapy. Yeah. It's like you fucking can't, like, you can't operate anymore. But I was lucky I managed to make it work. And then afterwards, I had this thing called Herceptin. So my cancer is, I'm HER2 positive. So I had to have this thing called Herceptin at the end.
What does that mean? What does HER2 positive mean?
So HER2 positive, I'm going to get my notes out.
You've written it all down.
Because I don't fucking know. I'm really up on my own cancer. Oh,
it's
God.
A lot to remember, Harry.
Well, like, so... I didn't actually realise there's like 250 like different breast cancers.
250 different breast cancers?
Apparently you can have like as many, they're not all the same. They're not all the same in their characteristics. So when you're told you've got breast cancer, you just think you've got breast cancer. No, you've got, and then it attaches itself to a name, and then that then sort of directs the medication and
right,
the treatment
okay.
that you have. So you could have any one. So I'm HER2 positive. It's quite an aggressive form of cancer. It's to do with the growth cells, the protein growth cells in the breast. Instead of them restoring, growing and repairing, mine just mutated really quickly, and that's right. what the mass was. And then around it were these precancer cells, and which is why it grew to such a size that I probably over maybe 1 or 2 years, it's quite, it's, the cancer's not, people think when they get cancer, they've got it just then, but it's really slow growing.
Yeah, yeah.
And grow and grow and grow. So that's, the Herceptin stops that in its tracks, more or less.
Right.
And it can save you for, I think maybe 5 or 10 years.
Okay.
So you have it for a number, you have it every 3 weeks. Yeah, I had to go back to St. Paul's, had to cab. And then you have
and
to
how
have,
do you get that?
Yeah, it's intravenous as well.
How long for?
Oh, no, it isn't. It's in your, I think it's in your, was it in my thigh? I had it for quite a while.
Yeah.
Had it for quite a while, every 3 weeks. It doesn't really have any side effects, but it used to make me feel a bit sick.
Yeah.
And it has to go in, I think, yeah, it's in your leg and it's in your muscle.
Right.
And again, I put another, I can get all these videos because they're quite interesting.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had all these things, but the one thing is why I decided I didn't want to have my last chemo was I didn't have any hair.
Yeah.
I was having to go still for treatment. I didn't have any eyebrows, didn't have any eyelashes.
Mm.
Thankfully, I had a friend who did some microblading. Love you, Sherry. I wasn't really allowed to have it, but I wouldn't have it anyway. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you'd had cancer, you'd had like, chemo. I went and had it, bless her. She did it for me. And I remember looking at myself thinking, what the fuck have I done? Like, it was so red. And I got on the central line and thought, oh my God, I've damaged myself. I've really done myself a mischief. Anyway, the next day it was fine. But yeah, and I think that was the point where I go, no, I can't do any more.
Yeah.
I'm not doing any more. I'm not putting myself through it anymore. And that was quite an experience. And what happens when you finish and you finish your treatment is you've got to start living your life. And
hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Like, I think that's when it can become quite tricky because your body is not the same.
Yeah.
You know, you look in the mirror and I look different to everybody else. I remember going to Bikram yoga in Loughton and you're in the shower. I didn't want to get in the shower.
Yeah.
I remember people staring because I was young still. Yeah. Still young, you know it.
Yeah.
And I remember, like, don't have a nipple. I don't look the same people are staring at me, and I honestly could not wait to get out, and I haven't been back since. There's certain situations where, like, when I look online and I see people talking about, like, their body issues and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have a clue, because when people have, like, life-sparing surgeries.
Yeah.
And you're left with, you know, I've been left with quite an amazing, you know, like, I look amazing. You could never tell.
Honestly, you had to point it out to me, and I still can't believe it. I still am shocked when you do get it out and there's no nipple, because it's just, you just haven't got a nipple.
No.
It's like, why haven't you? It's absolutely amazing.
It just calls it my smooth boob. Smooth criminal.
It's like you've just cut yourself shaving.
It is, isn't it?
It's unbelievable.
Totally.
It's amazing.
I mean, I've had some surgeries. You have these things called dog ears. Okay.
They're my tits.
And yeah, I know. And you can have them. I had that surgery done where they take the sides of the... so when they do hip to hip, they take the sides of it, they pinch it and then they sew it. And it just takes down the fat. I've had surgery under my arm. I will have a nipple.
Yep.
But I'm going to do what they call nipple sharing, because my nipples are so big. I know, I could have. Well, that's what you said about mine. I was like, hello, you are talking about my nipple. You're talking about my nipple. But yeah, I might have the nipple share, which they cut the nipple, your other nipple, and they share it with the other one.
Yeah.
So I might have that one. But I do feel like I'm ready to have that. There's been lots of times where I've not been ready to have.
What do they do? Do they literally cut it in half?
Yeah, so a normal surgery to have nipples would be they do a prosthetic, or they could do a 3D tattoo. The 3D tattoos are incredible.
Yeah, they are.
As far as I'm concerned. But again, I think, I keep saying I'm young, and yeah.
You're young.
I am, yeah. And this is how long these things take. I mean, I'm 49. Fucking I'm actually only 43. But you know, these things take time.
Yeah.
But what they do is they cut like a cross, and they pull the skin, and they stitch around, and they make the nipple.
Okay, yeah.
And then they can have a tattoo around the outside.
Yeah.
But that doesn't stay long. It goes a bit flat after a few years.
Right.
So I don't want that one.
Yeah.
The 3D one I would be comfortable having. But as my nipple on the left is so large, I might as well have that one on the right, darling. I might as well do whatever I can have done, to be honest.
Yeah.
But now I've got, a flat stomach. Because when they do the surgery, I had cesarean.
Yeah.
So they got rid of my cesarean scar.
Oh, yeah.
So they do stuff like that for you.
Yeah.
You're bloody lucky. Yeah. You know? But I've had things like, I've had moles taken out from my feet because I thought it was cancer.
Yeah.
I've had lumps in my other breast. Honestly, when you find anything, you're like straight on it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's where I think your story and your journey begins, because you have to live with it every day, and you have to go for tests, and you have to go for...
So how often do you have to go for tests?
So now it's slightly eased off a bit. I don't know whether that's because of the coronavirus. but I used to go like every month.
Yeah.
I was going quite regular. And I have a mammogram once a
year. Is that where they flatten them?
Yeah, it's mammogram. It's horrible. It's sore. It's sore. And I have a friend called Sue. So my really beautiful friend Sally, who did a lot for me.
Yeah.
Her friend had breast cancer. And she talked to me a lot about the danger of mammograms and having them too often. So now I will have them once a year, but I won't have them any more than that. And I do think that, you know, even though women are young and they think women are very young to have cancer, if you're, you know, 40 or below, you should still have the right to have it, because I think that it just seems like there's no testing for these things.
Yeah.
You don't, And you don't always know if you're going to feel something. Yeah. And if you feel something, how long that might take for you to respond to that feeling.
Yep.
Could take quite a while.
Yep.
Or confide in somebody. Luckily, I confided in my friend Sally. I think a number of my friends I sort of told, and my mum and my sister. And I went to the doctor straight away. Didn't fanny about with it. I just took it. But yeah. It's a strange thing to be labelled with cancer.
Yeah,
I think, and lots of people used to say, well, why do you talk about it so much, or why do you post things on Facebook? I've had people saying, you know, because I've put some quite graphic things on my Facebook, and I was saying, well, you know, really, when I was looking for solutions to my ordeal, I just saw horror stories. I honestly just saw horror stories. So for me, if I can put out something that's positive, that is real, like there are real videos on there of me having Herceptin. There are me having, you know, Sherry's microblade in my face. You know, that's, I've put that on. Sam's cutting my hair when I've had my first chemo. Yeah. They are just moments, snippets in my life and that journey that are real.
Yeah.
They're not made up. I haven't given you a story. It's not fiction. It's real life. So for me, if I could change and help a couple of women to make positive choices, then that's all well and good. And throughout my time, I've had countless amounts of women and men, because men get breast cancer as well. I have to just say that.
Do they?
Yeah. They do. It's quite common with men.
Wow.
Yeah, it is, and it's quite unbelievable. And I've had people say they've found lumps, but they've come to me, or they've messaged me, or they've texted me, and I've been like, wow, it's like, and you feel real like a sense of responsibility. Yeah. And I'll never ever say to somebody, "Don't be daft." No, you don't. I always say, if you you need to make an appointment, you need to get yourself checked. And that is the best advice you can give anybody.
Always check it out.
Always check it out. Don't think that anything is not worth doing that.
Because you never know.
You never know.
And that's what the doctors are for.
Exactly. It's like when they examine your boobs.
they pick them off the floor. I'm really freckly.
Tickle them on the floor, don't they, Amy?
Yes. I had a mole that looked like it had changed a bit. So I was like, I went to the doctor, but it's fine.
Yeah.
But he told me that it has to be over a certain, like normally they're over a certain size and like how they change. And I was like, okay, you ain't got to worry. Ooh.
And I had it removed. That was like the weirdest thing ever. But my beautiful friend Holly, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but she had skin cancer in the back of her leg. Thank God her boyfriend is a bit of a perv, because he just kept saying, that's getting bigger, you need to go. And she did it out of spite. She went to out of spite to say, you got to come back, girl. I told you it was nothing. Well, it wasn't nothing, it was something.
Fuck.
So I think all of these experiences in my life, and all the people that are in my life who've had, like, I've got countless amounts of stories.
Yeah.
And you just can't say to people, you can't brush them off and say that they're nothing.
No.
You can't. Because we don't live in that world anymore.
No, we don't.
We really don't. And we don't, because there's, you know, children, there's, you know, young adults, there's older people who get it. So, you know, it's a very real experience.
Yeah.
And it's something that I don't take lightly. So, you know, that's why I do take my fitness quite seriously. Yep. I do take my just like things I eat.
So how long have you been clear for?
3 and a bit years.
Because, I mean, you'd never know. And unless you tell people, no one would ever know that you're cancer survivor.
No, I felt like I had a bit of a rebirth. I feel like it was the moment that said to me, you've got to fucking wake up, love.
Yeah.
Otherwise, this is not, your life is just going to be shit. So Like, I live my life. Before, but I didn't. I don't think I lived my life in the best way. I was like a, you know, sort of destructive mode.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm just a bit more like, I like
semi-destructive.
Yeah. Now I'm like, now I'm like I like being at home. I like being with my child. I like being with my friends. I don't really push the limits of my body anymore.
I think you enjoy yourself, but you don't take the piss.
I really don't. No.
Which is the best way, really.
Oh, you can't. You're too old for it, Amy. Oh,
I was too old when I was 20.
Right, look, this is how old I am. I'm going to confess something. I did text Amy tonight saying, Amy, I just sneezed and I thought I wet myself. And she said, has that never happened before? I went, no, it fucking hasn't. So now I'm doing Kegels as I'm speaking to you guys.
But do it when you brush your teeth.
What?
That's what I do every night when I brush my teeth.
Yeah, but what I'm trying to work out is, how long have you had this issue for? Do you wear tenor lady?
I've always worn them.
What?
No. Do you know what? I've never really had the problem until I had kids. But even now, like, we did skipping at the gym the other day.
Did you wet yourself?
And I started doing skipping and I was like, fuck, and I did. I wet myself.
Did you?
But then the next day I'll do it and I'll be fine. So it's not all the time.
Hang on a minute.
It's just every now and then.
I've got to tell Stuart and Paul that's the reason why
I was actually outside.
That's why Pissy Corner smells like Pissy Corner.
But I was like, oh my God, actually, it's just coming out. But it depends, you know, it's where I am in my cycle. I always talk about my periods, but it's where I am in my cycle.
I've never known anything like it.
Like with jumping jacks as well. I can do them sometimes, I'll be absolutely fine. And other times I'll do them and I'll be like, oh, okay, yeah, no, this. But it's not a lot, it's just like a little bit.
Yeah, no.
But we went, you know, when all them trampoline parks started coming in, becoming the rage, I went with my mate Andrew.
Oh my God, you used to be shit yourself.
Juno was like 2, I think, and my mate Andrew was straight on there and she was like jumping up and down and all of a sudden she just stopped and her face, she was like, I've got to go to the toilet, and she just ran and it was so funny and I was like, what's the matter with her?
Oh,
and then
God,
she was like, I fucking pissed myself, and I was like, because we'd not obviously not done any exercise since we'd had our second babies.
Oh my God,
yeah,
and this is what life is all
so
about,
funny.
Isn't it?
But yeah, I mean, I'm not. Some people are really bad. Like once they have kids, they're fucked.
God, I've done well then.
Yeah, you have
and
done
I've
well. If that's the first time, and you've had cancer.
I pull that card a lot, by the way, don't I? I try to make people feel really sorry for me, but generally they don't.
It's because it's like such a shock because you're such a healthy, vibrant person, and I suppose like stereotypically, like when you think of. Well, sick people, you don't think of happy, shiny, bouncy people, do you?
No,
you think it'd be
really.
There'd be an obvious thing you could see.
Yeah.
And you're just not that person.
No.
But that's why it's so good for you to talk and share your story.
Totally. Yeah.
Because you're all right, you're here, you're living life, you look great, everything's great.
It's really important not to be too macabre about it. And I do have a bit of a sense of humour about it. I do take it seriously.
Yes.
But I do see the funny side of some of the things that I had to, you know, had to go through.
Yeah.
Because if you don't, like, honestly, you wouldn't handle it mentally.
Yeah.
There's lots of women who, you know, and men, you know, who've gone through cancer and they've never been the same since.
Yeah.
And it has an effect on your children as well and your circle of friends. And
yeah.
But there's those are things that it affects. I was just really lucky. I had amazing circle of friends, my family were amazing, and I just had people that wanted me to win, and I wanted to win for them. There was only a couple of moments where, like, that time in the hospital, which I won't ever forget, and I think I did some funny things, like my friend Kelly and Glenn came, my other friend Jane, who was my boss at work, not my direct boss, a couple of bosses above. And I think I was so delirious. I think I said, do you want to see my boobs? And I got my top out. And I think Glenn's face was like, fucking what the fuck am I looking at? And I think I did it with my family as well. I've got quite a lot of male cousins, and I think they just thought, oh my god, like, Harry, but like, put it away. But I was quite proud of my boob, and I used to say, well, it hasn't got a nipple, so it's not classed as a boob. It's not classed as a boob, so I just could get it out. I think I whipped it out quite a lot. And I do get it's my nice boobs boob. Out quite a lot.
You've got really nice boobs and a nice bum.
Oh, God, I my bum. Yeah. So that's really the cancer story.
Yeah.
So, you know, don't come to me if you want any technical knowledge, because clearly I don't have a fucking clue. But
you don't need to know all that shit.
I've got it written down if anybody wants to know. And I'm very good at Google.
Yeah.
That's the problem, though, Google. Have you ever been... Yes. You want to be on them forums.
Yeah, oh, no.
I talked about forums before.
No.
I went on them cancer forums. Fuck me, you think about 6 months from fucking death. Seriously.
Yeah.
I would never, ever, ever, ever go on them ever again.
It's always ever. The worst case scenario, I think, with Google. When you Google any illness, it's like the worst thing comes up.
Well, and totally. You could have a common cold and think you're dying.
But it's like with birth stories, everyone always wants to tell you their worst story, like the worst thing. And I imagine that is with a lot of stuff, is people want to share their, for whatever reason. But
I think that you, I'm not saying that people exaggerate, because it's not really like that. But I think probably over time, you forget, because you're not in that moment. So you, like when I said to you earlier, I don't remember some of the words, I don't remember some of the things. So you kind of, you embellish it slightly, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because you're just trying to think about, oh shit, what happened then? Oh God, what happened then? Or what did I do then? And you just can't help it. But
yeah.
I mean, I think that there's loads of good advice out there. I did go to Macmillan. I think they're incredible. And I got quite a lot of advice from them.
Yeah.
I had a lot of older friends. Like, so the older friends I had who'd had people that had cancer, they were like my go-to people. And Sally, my friend Sally, who was just incredible. She's very earthy. She's very, like, she does lots of stuff around. Like, just, she's a bit more... non-traditional, so she just gave me good advice about, you know, which sort of routes to take. You know, ask people who've had it, ask people who you know have had cancer.
Yeah,
you know, there's loads of really good blogs. I followed loads of good Instagram accounts, and I followed people that weren't necessarily in the UK.
Yeah.
There's a woman in Australia who had an amazing tattoo over her breast, and I've still got her messages that we messaged each other, and she messaged me. Things like that were really powerful to me.
Yeah.
Not forums.
Yeah.
Not an A4 piece of paper telling me about the, you know, procedure.
Yeah.
It was actually asking.
Yeah.
And not being afraid to ask. But there's a young cancer patient Facebook page, which is monitored, and it's got, I don't know how many thousands of groups, and we'll share this with our listeners.
Yeah.
That was really good as well. And they just release poems and stories and things that are quite positive.
Yeah.
That's a good place to go. But yeah, there's lots out there.
That's my worst nightmare, like kids, cancer. And one of our good friends at the gym, his little girl had leukaemia. Yeah. And yeah, that is just, some people go through absolutely unbelievable, awful things, don't they?
Yeah.
Do you think you just got to be so thankful for what you've got?
You really do. You've just got to live your life.
Yeah.
You've got to be really kind of, really quite selfish as well sometimes.
Yeah.
With your time and your energy and not get sucked into things that don't concern you or matter to you.
And don't waste time with negative people.
Don't. Honestly. That's why I'm leaving. No, I'm joking.
Prick.
No. I think, and just, yeah, just smiling, laughing.
Yeah. If you can.
If you can, yeah. It takes a while.
It does take a while, but you have done amazing. You really have.
She's looking at my boobs.
I'm looking, I always look at your boobs. that I remember when I met you and you first told me about it, I just couldn't believe it, because I was like, because I think it had only been, how long have I known you? Is it a year or 2 years? It's only a year, isn't it?
A year and a bit.
Yeah.
No, year and a half.
Yeah. Feels like so much longer.
It was actually that long after I met you then, really, about a year and a bit after.
Yeah.
I'd met you. Yeah.
So, but I remember when you told me, and I was like, fucking hell, like, that was really recent.
Yeah.
And you're so all right. Because my good friend sadly died she had cancer. She went through it for about 5 years, but it was like a continuous thing with her. So even though she did look all right, do you know what I mean? Like, it wasn't, my experiences have been like, she was never, you know, back to herself. Right. Yeah. It was always like kind of kept coming back in different places and, you know, but yeah, I just couldn't believe that you were so all right. And especially like having your whole tit off and a new one.
Yeah,
like, just thinking about that operation, like, having a boob job is bad, not that I obviously know, but having stuff cut out of your stomach and all that as well going on.
Did you know what I didn't actually think? I think, like, some of the things that keep you going are, so if you detach from some of those things, like, I was, like, saying to our good friend Michaela, like, I had her friend who did me, like, a care package. She did me a survival pack. And I remember going through all these stages in my journey, like, quite horrific stages, but I'd always retreat back to this pack because it had, like, funny videos. It had, like, things like funny books. It had, like, colouring like, so that it would distract me from getting involved in that whole process of sucking me into something that I didn't really want
to,
that I didn't want to go down. Things like that, or like having conversations with people when I felt down.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, like, just celebrating that your life, celebrating your life. But I did have a party at the beginning. So just before I went in to have my surgery, I had a party at Bar 90 and I got absolutely shit-faced. I mean, I got shit-faced.
That sounds really unlike you.
Yeah. I remember my friend Victoria got me. I don't think I've drank so many shots in all my life, but all my friends were there.
Yeah.
All my friends came to support me. Things like memories like that got me through some dark times. And then they are responsible for you picking yourself up at the end.
Yeah.
Because you just remember, that you internalise them. They become very important to you.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, they really do. That's it. Mm. That's me. It's me and my cancer, do
you know? You and your cancer. Your big C.
Me and my big boo. Well, she's not big anymore. She's had a lot of footage of me.
Oh.
But yeah, it's my stomach. And it's living. So if I put on weight, it puts on weight. If I lose weight, it loses weight.
It's amazing.
So it'll always be, and it's I've got a lifetime guarantee.
Thank God for the NHS.
Saving lives.
And for amazing surgeons and nurses.
That's what I clap for.
Yeah.
On a Thursday at 8 o'clock.
Yes.
I clap for not just what they're doing now, but what they've done.
Yeah.
For past and present.
Yep.
Because that's what they do. And it is incredible.
It is incredible.
I honestly, when I got to the Brumfield, I said, is this a private hospital? No, this is just the plastics. And I was like, but it looks like a private hospital. And I was like to my mum, I can't afford this. She's like, it's not, it's an NHS, but it's just plastics unit. But they have to, and I honestly, I couldn't believe it. I can't believe it. I got treated so well.
As you should.
Fortune Iwagua, who was my plastic surgeon, was incredible. I think he's amazing.
Yeah.
And Peter Frecker, who was my breast consultant. And I had a...
sound like you're saying Peter Fucker.
I know it does. And my most special consultant, he's called Dr. What's he called? Not Honey Bear. Connie Bear. Connie Bear. Not Honey Bear. He looked like a bit of a honey bear.
Aww.
Mr. Connie Bear. He lives in Woodford, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll remember all of them.
Yeah.
They will never, ever leave my memory.
Well, they saved you, didn't they?
Yeah, totally.
Thank God.
Thank God, and now I'm here to, you know, play havoc with you.
Thank God.
Thank God.
Well, thank you very much for sharing.
God, how much have I... Oh, God, I've been talking for hours.
No, but that's good.
That's good, isn't it?
It's good.
Right then.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
See you later, alligator. Sorry. We're not sure why we're laughing.
This is what you're going to hear after you've just listened to your cancer story.
Yeah.
It's us laughing so much.
Is it? Amy is giggling. We're fit.
Oh, that really made me laugh.
Right. Well, I'll just take over because Amy...
It's because obviously you've got me so emotional.
Oh, God.
Oh,
right. Yeah. Well, that was episode 7.
Yeah, it was episode 7.
That was the cancer story. Next week, I promise, we'll come back with something a little bit more funnier. But yeah, we thought, I hope you found it a little bit useful.
Yeah.
I just slapped my... How that sounds.
Oh, right, you God. Need to thank people.
Oh, yeah,
say
sorry.
Thank you.
I want to thank, first and foremost, the NHS and all the doctors and nurses and all the people that continue to keep me healthy. A massive special thank you to two of the most amazing women, Shelley and Sharon, who I was in hospital with, and they still are... really
Where,
dear to
do
me.
They live, are they local?
No, one lives in Harlow and one, I believe, has moved to Scotland. But
to get away from you.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah,
do I love them both amazingly. And my friends and my family, I had amazing support. I would not have got through it without them, all of them, everybody. And I might have mentioned people tonight and I might not have mentioned names, but... Everybody knows who they were.
You know
I've always,
you are.
Yeah. I've done what I've done is I used to try and do things for people to say thank you for keeping me going. And there's like in my circle for like looking after me. And I've done quite a few things. There's just loads of people that I'd love like my cousin Tara, who's like amazing. My other friend Tara, who did the support package for me and things. Like, there's lots of people that you could spend all day thanking.
Yeah.
But everybody who was in my life who supported me, God, I don't think I'll ever forget that. Ever.
But you're a lovely person, so people, you know,
yeah,
I think you get back what you put in to
the
world.
But a lot of my friends will tell you that they've spent a lot of time in hospital with me. Like, my friend Siobhan... and Clarita have probably spent a good... Like, my friend Clarita probably spent 25 years in hospital with me at some point or another. Every single year there's been something. So they were like, you're fucking having a laugh. Now you've got cancer. Like, that's the icing on the cake, isn't it? But yeah, that's... I thank my family, thank my friends.
Well, thank you
life,
for sharing.
Really. And then thank, like, the people that... keep me going now.
Yep.
Like, you know, Amy.
Thank you.
Nicole, Sarah, Babs, my little sister, brother, everybody really, the gym, everybody at the gym, all the girls and all the guys at the gym. Just love
We're
it.
Lucky. It's a good supportive, isn't it? Supportive
family.
Yeah,
that's what you need. That's what you need in life.
It is what you need in life.
Otherwise you'd be like, you know, functioning alcoholic. Well, or a functioning...
non-alcoholic
water drinker.
I want to take this opportunity to try and raise some money for our local children's hospice. Lovely daughter Lola is cutting off all of her beautiful hair to donate it to the Little Princess Trust, who make wigs for children who've got cancer. So it's a really, really lovely thing that she's doing. It's not completely selfless because she does want to cut her hair off. And I was like, there is no way you're cutting all that beautiful hair off. But she was like, I want to donate it.
You can't
so
say
like,
anything
fuck.
That, can you? You
can't say no. But it's a really, it's lovely and... But I thought it'd be a really good opportunity for us to then also try and raise some money for our wonderful local children's hospice, and especially... oh, bless
I nearly
you.
I wet myself again. Sorry.
Especially with the awful coronavirus stuff that's going on at the moment. I know that charities are really suffering because they can't do fundraising events, and Haven House do rely a lot on fundraising events, which obviously aren't happening. So now is a good a time as any to try and raise some money for them. So I'm going to post a link to the Just Giving page, but if you go to Just Giving and just type in Lola's hair, all one word together, then it will come up.
We'll put it on our personal socials.
But yeah, if you can donate anything at all, it'll be really greatly appreciated. And once this crazy shit's over, then we're going to get it done. And I'll post that as well. Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, but thanks for listening. And if there's anything you want to talk about, anything you want to discuss, anything you want to share,
if anything that you want us to talk about, or you know, if you want us to kind of touch on a subject, get in touch. Don't touch Amy.
But, don't come anywhere near me.
No, but touch base with us. Come and get in contact.
Yeah, it'd be nice to hear from you.
It would be.
It would be, wouldn't it? Take care. Thanks for listening. Yeah, subscribe.
Subscribe, Mum and Mama Pod.
Mama Pod.
Share the love. We still haven't had a bloody jingle.
No, we've got a song. The song that is the jingle is a song that I sing.
Oh, right.
But I'm not singing on it. So it's kind of like...
Oh, she was going to do a rap, wasn't she?
No, but that ain't fine. That. Someone bloody messaged me about that saying, when's the rap? It's like, I ain't going to do a rap, am I?
We're going to make her do a rap.
Did, do you know what I did do? You know, our friend Leonie, she sent us this... one of her neighbours had put like this thing on like the local group of this song for them to sing while they were doing the clapping at the 8 o'clock. But it wasn't a song. It was basically just a list of instructions that was repeated. It was really, and I was just like, that's shit. It's like, if you're going to go to all that effort of posting a song for people to sing, at least put some fucking effort into the words. So then they were like, all right, you know, like, go on then. So I wrote a verse to a fucking song, and I was like, see, don't take 10 minutes to, you know.
So she'll do it for that, but she won't do it for this.
But I'm like, you know, this
card is marked, Amy.
Yeah. Anyway, that was a really interesting story, wasn't it?
Right, so when we come off the phone, I'm really going to give her what for.
But yeah, thanks for listening, thanks for listening. See you next week.
Toodle pip.
Bye.
Work.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.